Anne and Marco Conti seem to have it all. A beautiful home, successful careers, and an adorable six-month-old daughter named Cora. But one fateful night, their picture-perfect life crumbles when they make a decision that will haunt them forever. With their babysitter canceling last minute, they choose to attend a dinner party next door anyway, leaving baby Cora alone in her crib. They take the baby monitor and check on her every half hour. What could possibly go wrong? Everything, as it turns out. When they return home shortly after 1 a.m., they discover their front door ajar and Cora's crib empty. In an instant, their comfortable suburban existence transforms into a nightmare. Anne's piercing scream fills the house as Marco stands frozen in shock. Within minutes, their home becomes a crime scene, crawling with police officers and detectives who immediately begin to wonder, could the parents themselves be involved? As Detective Rasbach investigates, Anne and Marco's marriage reveals its flaws. The dinner party concealed Marco's compromising encounter with neighbor Cynthia on her patio, while Anne numbed her insecurities with wine. Their neighbors harbor their own secret. Graham installed a hidden camera in their backyard that captured footage from that night, not for security, but for his voyeuristic pleasure. The investigation uncovers troubling evidence. A neighbor spotted a small car without headlights moving down the street just 5 minutes after Marco's claimed check on Cora. Forensic teams find tire tracks in the Contis' garage that don't match their vehicle. Most concerning, no one besides the parents saw Cora alive after 2 p.m. on the day she vanished. As media coverage intensifies, initially sympathetic reporting turns hostile when news of their leaving the baby alone breaks. Headlines condemn their negligence, and a growing pile of toys and flowers outside their home often contains hateful notes about their parental failure. Anne's mental health becomes a focal point as Rasbach discovers her prescription for sertraline, medication for postpartum depression. Her psychiatrist is unfortunately away in Europe, leaving questions about her stability unanswered. Marco's internet search history reveals extensive research on postpartum psychosis and mothers who killed their children, casting further suspicion on the couple. Anne confesses to Detective Rasbach something she's hidden even from Marco. She suffers from a dissociative condition where she sometimes blanks out and does things she can't remember. She admits to slapping Cora during a moment of frustration and fears she might have hurt her baby during one of these episodes. Meanwhile, Anne's wealthy parents, Richard and Alice Dries, enter the picture. They never approved of Marco, viewing him as a social climber who married their daughter for money. The house the couple lives in was a wedding gift from them, a constant reminder to Marco of his financial dependence on his in-laws. This tension between Marco and Richard adds another layer of complexity to the already fraught situation. A package arrives containing Cora's mint green onesie and a $5 million ransom note. Anne confirms it's genuine by her baby's scent. Her parents provide the money, and Marco handles the delivery. At the abandoned garage exchange point, Marco finds only Cora's car seat and blanket. He's knocked unconscious and wakes to find the money gone and no baby. Police arrive to find Marco in shock and confused. The case shifts dramatically when Anne discovers a hidden cell phone in their home's air duct. Initially suspecting an affair, she confronts Marco, but the truth is darker. It's the phone he used to communicate with his kidnapping accomplice. The final blow comes when Cynthia tells Anne about video evidence showing Marco taking Cora from their house the night she disappeared. When confronted, Marco confesses everything to Anne. His failing business, financial desperation, and how he orchestrated Cora's kidnapping to extract ransom money from her wealthy parents. As the truth unravels, an even more shocking revelation emerges. Marco wasn't working alone, nor was he the mastermind. In a confrontation at Richard and Alice's estate, Marco accuses Richard of orchestrating the entire scheme. He pieces together how Richard sent his friend Derek as a puppet, carefully planned the kidnapping, and ultimately murdered Derek to eliminate witnesses. Detective Rossbach, who has harbored suspicions about Richard from early in the investigation, secures judicial authorization for comprehensive surveillance of Richard's activities. The case breaks open when Anne, following maternal instinct, tracks her father into the woods behind their property. There, in a scene of profound emotional complexity, Richard presents her with a small bundle, Cora, weak but miraculously alive. The evidence against Richard becomes insurmountable when Alice's private investigator reveals GPS tracking data showing Richard's car at the cabin precisely when Derek was murdered. Richard's motive gradually emerges. He had been having an affair with Cynthia and orchestrated the kidnapping as an elaborate scheme to circumvent his ironclad prenuptial agreement, which would leave him penniless in a divorce. After thorough medical examinations confirm Cora has suffered no lasting physical harm, Anne and Marco bring their daughter home. Standing over her crib, watching her tentatively return to her normal, smiling self, they face their own uncertain future together. But the story takes one final shocking turn. Anne confronts Cynthia about her involvement in Richard's plot. When Cynthia cruelly suggests she would have killed Cora rather than deal with that brat's endless crying, something deep within Anne fractures. Hours later, Marco wakes to emergency lights flashing outside their window as paramedics wheel a body bag from Cynthia and Graham's house. He finds Anne in their kitchen, standing motionless by the sink, her clothes stained with blood, gripping their carving knife. When Marco asks what she's done, Anne's chilling response reveals the darkness that has been lurking within her all along. "I don't know. I don't remember." Her dissociative episodes weren't merely postpartum depression, but something far more dangerous. The couple next door masterfully explores the pressure to maintain a perfect life facade and the devastating consequences when it crumbles. Anne and Marco's desire to appear as ideal parents leads to the fateful decision triggering a catastrophic chain of events. Anne's postpartum depression reveals the hidden challenges of new motherhood, feelings of inadequacy, body image issues, and isolation, creating a perfect storm of vulnerability. Marco's need to appear successful drives him to dangerous risks rather than admitting business failures. The novel examines how wealth creates family power imbalances. Richard and Alice's money gives them control over their daughter's life, while Marco's resentment of their financial hold festers into destructive action. Surveillance and information as currency run throughout, showing how modern technology creates new forms of social control. What makes this story unsettling is how it questions how well we know those closest to us, neighbors, spouses, even ourselves. Behind closed doors, the perfect family, ideal marriage, and successful career might all be elaborate illusions maintained at devastating cost. As the novel warns, you never know what's happening on the other side of the wall.